Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of the Leaders in Value Chain podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Moles-Rota, Managing Director at Alcott Global. Okay, Wouter, thanks for having me. I'm here at the Ahold headquarters, meeting Wouter Kolk for our podcast. He's the Chief Executive Officer Europe and Indonesia and member of the Management Board and Executive Committee. Hmm. He's been here for a long time. Actually, he came back.
Yes.
So maybe we can start with this. So Wouter, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome in our beautiful office in Zaandam here of Ahold Delhaize. So very welcome. Good to talk to you. Yeah.
So a little bit on your career, especially the part on Ahold, where you started your career, came back. And I would love to know, what have you seen? What has happened? I mean, you came back, you've seen COVID, you've seen so much transformation. So tell us a little bit about your leadership journey.
Well, of course, it's kind of funny that, of course, I started here as a management trainee, did a lot of different things. And that is, of course, also the beauty of Ahold Delhaize, that you can do a lot of different things in our company, and that we actually like the fact that people are switching from marketing to commerce to operations to... I always had the ambition, though, to become a CEO of a brand. So I wanted to always develop myself very broadly in the different areas. And then, doing a lot of things in 16 years, and then you suddenly wake up when you're 40 years old, you think, oh, I've been with this company for 16 years, and I can talk a long time about that 16 years, but then I felt like the need to do something else. And of course, worked in a completely different industry, in the fashion industry also. And then, suddenly moved into a family business with Ronald de Waal in fashion, European. Yeah, it was completely different. And I must say, it was scary moments. So it was not always easy peasy. It was actually also for me very scary to leave something, very kind of like a company that you know well, people know you well. I was at that time the CEO of Atos. I was doing well. So, why do you leave? But I also sensed the adventure and I wanted to do something else. But it was not easy. I had, for the first time in my life, I think, besides the birth of my three beautiful daughters, sleepless nights on that move. But I was so happy that I did it. And actually going back, I had a great journey over there for six, almost 7 years. And then I bumped into, at that time, the CEO, Dick Boer, said, "Hey, Wouter, why don't you come back?" And then, of course, got the responsibility of repositioning Albert Heijn again, because it was struggling at that time. It was also
a lot
actually,
of competition, right?
So yeah, Lidl coming up and Jumbo coming up, and a lot was going on. But it also felt really funny. It felt like coming home, but 6-7 years is also a lot of, in retail, a long time, and a lot of things did change and have changed. So I really had to get my feet back on the ground again and start to get my hands around Albert Heijn, built a great team together with also a strategy, and actually started the journey of really kind of where Albert Heijn still is today. That was kind of 10 years ago now, of continuous growth and also market share gains, which is super cool. But also in the meantime, Ahold became Ahold Delhaize. One of the biggest retail mergers in history, which was in itself also super exciting. We can talk for hours on that one. And then, of course, I think, if you look now, indeed, COVID, what happened in the retail business, and now actually, inflation, Ukraine war, different consumer mindset. So there's one thing that I've learned, is that expect the unexpected, I would say. And there's always continuous change, and everybody knows that, but it's a bit like, I'm always prepared for change. I sometimes say to people, it's like, well, it feels like you're in the box ring and somebody says, "I'm gonna punch you," and I said, "Okay, I'm ready for it." But when you really get when you really get the punch, it really feels, "Oh, but that feels painful," and it was on my nose, that was not the so that change is coming. And you're prepared for it, but you actually never prepared for it. You just need to embrace it and enjoy it. And Yeah, that is definitely one of the things I've learned over the years. Yes.
I love that. I love that. And I think it's, I love it because we all know that, you know, there's one thing, I don't know if you know it, it's surfer's mentality. It's a philosophy. It's basically based on surfing, that when you're on top of the wave, you know it's going to crash.
Yeah, you need to go. Yeah.
Exactly. But when it's crashing, you know that it's coming up again and you have to be resilient.
Yeah.
So in terms of transformation, because we have a lot of our listeners who've also came into, you know, transformation, sustainability, value chain, and you've seen COVID, which was kind of mind-blowing. I don't think anybody would expect that.
No.
What did it do to your team, to Ahold, and what are the changes, main changes you've seen since? And I think since COVID, it hasn't changed because after that, the war came.
Some things, I think a couple of things we've learned. One of the funny things is that, of course, we were also very much like, we need to be together. We need to meet people. We need to, the whole Teams thing, it was installed, but we hardly used it. So suddenly you had to use it. So everybody was forced into it. And then actually it worked quite well. So you see also here in my office now, it's super hybrid. So of course, I had the pleasure of doing this job now for 6+ years. So I visited all the countries already. I know the people well. So for me now, running a European business, also partly digital and partly is just normal. Right? It's just like something we really learned at that time. I think also that from a consumer behavior, we accelerated a lot digitally, also in our stores. And, you know, less paper, more digital. The famous cell scan really accelerated a lot. And not that customers didn't want to go to the checkout, but also felt like, hey, I don't want a cashier touching my groceries. I want to be in control. We were also limited in terms of waiting lines. So the funny thing is, if you have a normal checkout, you can also put 4 self-checkouts in. So the checkout capacity has grown enormously because we introduced self-scans. And last but not least, actually customers like, and also humans, like to be in control. So if you have your own groceries, you can put your own pace. And some people take a long time and some people want to go fast, but at least you're in control. So those things are really, you know, and now I think in all our supermarkets across the Europe, it's, I think, 50 to 60% is self-scan.
Wow.
So that's really accelerated a lot. And the other thing is that of course, open food and not packaged. We try to reduce plastic and we actively are doing that. But customers still wanted that level of protection. So we saw that coming back and now it eases away again. So that's good news. But But I must say that you know, one thing that really kind of like reminds me or what I leave behind of COVID is that we were so kind of like purposeful of saying like, okay, you know, we need to be there. We need to open up our stores. We need to support our staff to do the right things. We need to make sure that everybody can get their food, that everybody feels like, okay, this is at least a go-to place where I feel safe and secure. And you know, and a lot of people say, well, you know, never waste a good crisis. But this was, of course, a crisis where everybody kind of worked together to do the right thing. In a way, you know, also quite fascinating.
Yeah, but at the time, all restaurants were closed and the supermarket were the only place you could still get your food.
Yeah. And of course, we also tried to do it in the best possible way.
Yeah.
And also after that, also really, you know, try to help also others and try to be also a real community player, I would say. Yeah. So also the purpose of us as a retailer in society also grew a lot. Yeah. So but of course not always easier because there was also a lot of backfiring. There was also a lot of like, you're profiting from it. And there was a lot of other emotions too, which are very understandable.
Yeah. Yeah. But you were very advanced in the e-commerce. You were the first one.
Yeah.
I think you were my very first online grocery.
Yeah.
And I think since then, there hasn't been any retailer that's been in the region that's been as fast and complete as you are.
Yeah. No, and of course, the good news, we already were online and quite professional and we ramped up very quickly.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things, though, is that after COVID, we expected that that would continue to grow and to accelerate. But there you also see kind of like a balancing out. Some kind of slowdown is like, hey, you know, that double digit growth, we don't see that anymore. Yeah. Customers really find, I would say, almost like a healthy balance between visiting a store and online. So that also reset itself. And you see that in Europe and also in the UK, which is one of the more advanced markets, you know, also in omnichannel and online versus offline. You also see there kind of like a balancing out. And of course, a lot of new players came. Like the other Instant and Flash and whatever. Yeah, you saw also now you see that there were child of COVID. And suddenly that's, and especially now with high inflation and high costs where things are getting more and more expensive. Yeah, a lot of customers are smart and they say, well, you know, I think I will walk to the store around the corner to get
Instead of using my
bubble tea or get my bananas very quick. I think also, and of course also the financial markets are different now, but some kind of realism is like, okay, what is really of essence has also grown into the after COVID period where we are in now. Yeah.
So in terms of to go back into leadership and talents,
yeah,
because you've had people in your team that you've really grown to amazing leaders,
yeah,
and you as a leader, any recipe for success, any big learnings from?
Ooh, yeah. Well, I think assembling a team and selecting people and ultimately giving people the responsibility, yeah, giving them the key of the company. Is a big responsibility and can go wrong, of course. I most of the time say, well, if you're 8 out of 10, you're right with your selections and your appointments, you do a good job. If anything below that, then you should check whether your radar is properly on. I think I have a good radar, and that is sheer experience, really. And yeah, you also need to hire and fire a lot of people to really, you know, is my radar, my intuition correct? You know, do I see this person doing it? Yeah, I always had a sense of feeling about it, having conversations. Actually, what I enjoy a lot when you have a candidate for an important job is really to spend some time with that person, but not in an interview style, but walk a store or go somewhere or do something and then see how a candidate reacts to things. And so, because I think in interviews, you can, some people are really good interviewers. I'm really impressed. I'm like, wow, you know, how did he or she do that? You know, it's like, but I think if you really spend some more time than just an hour interview and then have 20 people interviewing the same person and have a collective agreement, I think spending with your favorite candidate more time. And of course, in the retail, it's fun because you can go to a store and you see, and you can also see how does that person talk to our staff? How does it interact with sudden things? Because there's always something going on when non-prepared, and especially when you go to one of our stores in Amsterdam or something, always something happens. But let's see how that person reacts. It says a lot. And I think if you look at that and then apply your intuition and also trust your intuition, don't go only about the resume, but go about, you know, the real stories and the real experiences. You most of the time choose wisely then, yeah. I think. And of course, I had the luck to have a super good team. I also had a phase in my European role where I lost, you know, almost 4 super good leaders to 4 competitors, different ones. One to Walmart, one to Amazon, one to the HEMA, and one to Jumbo. And they're all kind of left at the same time. And I really was like, oh my, you know, my heavens, what's happening here? You know, I thought I was really a good people person. And also the board were asked like, oh, Walter, I thought you're somebody who could really, you know, help talent moving forward. So that was, but on the other hand, yeah, it's a cliche, but you have to reset yourself. It's like in the boxing ring. Okay, you got a blow, but now you have to stand up and say like, okay, how can I use this opportunity to grow further and build a stronger team?
Right.
And the funny thing is, was actually there were some things in the span of control, the way we operated. So I talked to the team members who were still there. It's like, hey, you know, how can we use this as an opportunity to... And we hired new talents. We promoted. We gave some of my team members a broader scope. And we hired some new ones with a different profile. So I actually grew out of it or from it, which was great. But at the time, it was like, oh my...
What did I do?
What did I do? And why is everybody leaving at the same time? It was just like very unfortunate. But yeah, those are setbacks when you also really question yourself, like, okay, did I have enough conversations? Did I ask enough? Like, you know, was my radar not on? Did I not see it coming? You know, what is wrong with me?
Yeah. You've been here a long time. So obviously, you know, the very ambitious one, they may also ask themselves, you know, what's next?
And within Audeles, we always love to grow our talent and we have opportunities. And I also... We regularly have conversations about, okay, not only your performance, but also how do you want to grow? Where do you want to go to? How can we help you? So that's in the, I have called, and that's maybe not so relevant right now, but I called ourselves always Ajax, the soccer team, who is always proud of their talent, that we were the Ajax of retail and that we produce a lot of retail talent. And we should also pride ourselves that by the fact that, you know, a lot of other retail businesses are run by ex-Ahold.
100%.
And which is great. You know, we should be not complaining that somebody's leaving, but we should actually be proud of it. But it doesn't help if a lot of people move at the same time.
Yes,
so,
for sure.
And on the other hand, sometimes you try to help, you try to have the right conversations. And then, yeah, sometimes, you know, maybe I also... wasn't curious enough to really understand, like, are you really happy here? Or, you know, is something going on? So you question yourself about that too. Yeah.
You're on the advisory board of the Lead Network.
Yeah.
It was Women's Day
a few days ago. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. Well, it's actually also, you know, a lot of our folks in our company, also in my team, Tanya, HR lead for EU, is very involved. But also Frans and Natalia are very involved and already kind of active as from the beginning. International Women's Day, I have three daughters and Helen, so I'm surrounded by them.
Women.
And we have some super talented women here also in Audeles and also in my team. So for us, it's every day is a Women's Day. Yeah? So I think it's part of the diversity, equity and inclusion agenda. And I am really a strong believer in diverse teams, in a good mix of talent, of gender, but also of opinions and of insights, because you do make better decisions. And I must say that for me, that when I was running Ethos and Gal & Gal, it was 2004, 5, 6, then I moved to fashion. Then I became actually really... understood the power of diversity. Because in the fashion business, they were much more advanced in international, gender, but also, you know, the whole LGBTQ environment is apparent in fashion. And I was not so aware of it. So retail is quite a traditional on this part, was, and is not anymore. But I really appreciated and learned the beauty of diversity, actually. In that time, and then I of course brought that back here, and then of course, and I think what is nice in the Lead Network is that they are really trying to push this agenda in the retail and the FMCG space, where they actually also bring all the leaders, also competitors and your suppliers together to talk about this topic and share stories and share best practices. And I really like to support our industry to be a front runner in this. And that's why I support Lead Network. And they also do a lot of things for us too. A lot of our European talent, but also come to these conferences. They're super excited about it. So it's a really good platform. Yeah.
Cool. And of course, some of your leaders indeed are amazing women on the Dutch and European
space. And absolutely. And they also... really understand the power of having strong, diverse, inclusive teams. So that's really good. Yes.
So we are coming to to the end of the podcast, your recipe for success and a focus on health, because you're also somebody who goes the extra mile, not on the ring, but...
No, not in the ring. I don't like to be hit, I think, but I'm also not a person who likes to hit other people either. But yeah, you know, I also advocated a lot with my team is that a healthy person, a person who is good in good balance, who makes better decisions. So I always say to my team members, make sure that you take good care of yourself. And some people relax with a book, you know, listening to classical music and whatever makes you tick. I like running around. I like to do more active sports, but I do then unwind and I can think about things. I can also, when I have a problem or something, and most of the time an hour running around the Vondelpark or on the beach will solve the problem most of the time. So I have found my way of dealing with difficult things, dealing with stress, dealing with, you know, everything that comes with this job. And you need to be fit. But everybody needs to find their own way. You know, I cannot tell you or dictate like, oh, yeah, everybody needs to run. That is silly. But you need to find your own way. But being in a good balance from a physical point of view and a mental point of view, then you are a better leader. Because the leaders who are stressed, who are under pressure, who cannot think anymore, make mistakes. They make bad decisions. They are also most of the time not a very pleasant person to deal with. And they stop listening. Because, you know, you just shut off. And that is not good. And actually, the more issues you have, the more problems you have, the better listener you need to be. Yes? So that is very important. And you can only do that when you really are, you know, also in sync with yourself. And that's why I find it important. And I also urge my team to do the same, but in their own way.
I love that. I think I learned it once, and it's very strange when you tell, especially more junior people, they get really stressed because the truck disappeared or system doesn't work. And I tell them, you actually need to take a step back and work less, maybe for one day, maybe go to the movie, whatever, go run, and you'll find a solution yourself. So I love to hear that.
And it takes, you know, you need to experience things yourself to understand how you tick. And that is just try, experiment, see what works for you. For some people, yoga works. For some, I mean, there are so many things that you can discover and do and, you know, find your own way.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
And good luck with the continuous journey.
Thank you. Yeah.
Congratulations on the results. I mean, the paper are full of...
Well, I think last year was a good year, but, you know, 24 is going to be another one with all excitement and all challenges. So we'll see. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to go to www.alcottglobal.com and click the podcast button for all the show notes of the interview. Also, subscribe to our mailing list to get our latest update first. If you're listening to a streaming platform like iTunes or Spotify, we would appreciate the kind review. 5-star works best to keep us going and our production team happy, and of course, share it with your friends. I'm most active on LinkedIn, so do feel free to follow me, and if you have any suggestions on what to do or who to invite next, don't hesitate to drop me a note. And if you're looking to hire a top executive or transform your business, of course, contact us as well to find out how we can help.